The word of God given to us today is Matthew chapter 26, verses 51 to 56. It's page 47 of the New Testament. The words for today are from Matthew chapter 26, verses 51 to 56. I will read the words. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back into its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion, that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place, that the writing of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Amen. A woman lived at a village called Sychar in Samaria. At the village where she lived, there was a communal well known as the Jacob's Well, and not only the village people, but animals drank from this well. When the woman, as she did every day, went to the well to draw water at noon, a traveler who looked tired was sitting there. Because the woman did not consort with village people and lived life alone, she drew water without paying much attention to the traveler. But the traveler started a conversation with her by asking her to give him water. The woman, surprised, answered coldly, "You look like a Jewish man. Why are you asking me, a Samaritan, to give water?" At the time of Jesus, Galilee was located in the northern part of Israel, in the middle of Samaria, and Judah was to the south. If one were to travel from the north to southern Judah, it would only take 3 days if one went through Samaria. But Jewish people did not go through Samaria. They crossed Jordan River and traveled twice the distance. The Jewish people at that time did not use the utensils that Samaritans used. And they did not eat any meal with Samaritans because they were prohibited from being in contact or talking with Samaritans. But the Samaritan region that Jewish people shunned was originally a part of Samaria. Samaritans were at one time an Israelite tribe that lived in the middle region of Israel. But until the time of Jesus, Jews and Samaritans lived as if they were enemies. And this was not so from the beginning. Israel, which was one kingdom, became divided after the time of King Solomon between the tribes of Judah and Benjamin on one hand, to the south, and the rest of the 10 tribes to the north. In terms of population, the size of territory, in every way, the northern Israel surpassed southern Israel. However, the temple, which was a center of religion in Israel, was located in southern Israel. So after the division, the northern Israel built temples in Samaria and blocked people from northern Israel from going to the Jerusalem temple to offer sacrifices. Time passed and the northern Israel became destroyed by the Assyrians in 721 BC. Assyria, which conquered northern Israel, adopted a policy of forced migration of non-Israelites to the region so that interracial marriages would happen, and this was a part of Assyria's plan to erase the heritage of northern Israel. As a result, the pure Jewish bloodline disappeared in northern Israel. In 586 BC, the people of southern Judah became destroyed by Babylon, returned to their home, Jerusalem, after many years passed after they became captives of Babylon. Judeans believed that they were the holy seas that kept the pure bloodline and looked down on and poorly treated Samaritans who failed to keep the pure bloodline. It was so to the extent that some rabbis believed that eating a bread made by Samaritans was like eating pork, which was prohibited by law. On the other hand, Samaritans kept grudge against Judeans, who did not treat them as people who belonged to one country. When the Jews returned from captivity, Jerusalem was in ruins. Jews started the project of rebuilding the temple as a part of restoration of Jerusalem, and Samaritans requested that they be allowed to participate in the rebuilding of the temple, but Judeans refused, claiming that Samaritans who intermarried with Gentiles could not participate in the project of restoring the Holy Temple. The crack of hostility between Judeans and Samaritans became deeper as a result. The relationship marked by hostility and absolute contempt between them continued down to the time of Jesus. In Luke chapter 9, there is a passage about how Jesus had sent people ahead of him in order to go through Samaria to get to Jerusalem. When those people sent news that they could not go through Samaria, James and John became angry toward Samaritans who refused Jesus. They proposed to Jesus that such people be judged by fire that comes down from heaven. But the Lord scolded James and John, who argued for such judgment of wrath, and went to Jerusalem by bypassing that town. Jesus, who was sitting by the Jacob's well, which was located in Samaria and where any contact or conversation was prohibited with Samaritans, requested the woman for water. The Samaritan woman could not understand why a Judean man would ask her, a Samaritan woman, for water. So she asked him why he was asking for water from her. And Jesus answered thus to the woman's question. This is from John 4:10. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus received a question from the woman as to why a Judean would consort with a Samaritan. But Jesus spoke about living water. And the woman, hearing Jesus' answer, continues with a nonsensical dialogue with Jesus. Upon hearing that Jesus can give her a living water, she asks him to free her from the chore of drawing water from a well. And Jesus asks her to bring her husband. When she answers that she has no husband, Jesus mentioned that she has had five husbands, and the man she is with now is not her husband. The woman began to feel that Jesus was somehow different from all the other Judeans she knew. And upon accepting Jesus, who knew about her past, which she wanted to so hide as a prophet, she asked a question about the place of worship, something that she had always been curious about. Her question basically pointed out that only the worships offered by the Jews in Jerusalem were considered legitimate, and the worships the Samaritans gave in Mount Gerizim did not count. So, which place was the right place to worship? Jesus, being questioned by the woman, answered that there will come a time when it will no longer be necessary to go to Mount Gerizim or to Jerusalem. He answered thus because Jesus Christ, through his future suffering on the cross and resurrection, would become the temple in which God would be present. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, the Bible reveals that Jesus Christ will be the head of church. Jesus was saying that up to then, the place where worship was offered was important for Jews and Samaritans, but it will become important to worship in Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. The place of worship, which was divided between factions, discriminations, and exclusions, would become one, and worshiping God, who is present as the Spirit in Jesus Christ, the living temple, without discrimination between races or wealth or status, will become the worship in spirit and in truth. The woman, while listening to Jesus, experienced a tension that began with the old hostility between Jews and Samaritans disappear, and at last realized who she was talking to. The woman who recognized Messiah, the Christ, ran to the village, leaving her vessels behind, announced the presence of the Lord. The woman who had had five husbands and was living with another man, who had been continuing a life in the flesh only, experienced true life bursting forth within her. She, who had always been set aside, who had been living a life of thirst, was overflowing with living water. The living water, which overflowed within her, flowed towards her neighbors who had heard the news about the Messiah. The Samaritans who heard the words of life asked Jesus to stay with them. And John chapter 4 tells us that the Lord stayed in Samaria for 2 days and taught them about the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. The people of Samaria did not ask for a miracle or a sign. They confessed that Jesus was the true Lord based on Jesus' words alone. Samaritans, whom Jews held in contempt, were also people who hope for the coming of the Messiah, the Christ. One day, a young man came to see Jesus and asked him what he must do to gain the eternal life. Jesus, when asked this question, answered that only God is good, and so one must know who God is and obey his commands. Jesus was saying that the requirement of entering the eternal life, in other words, salvation, rested with obeying the law, which were God's commandments. That one obeys God's commands in that mean keeping the Ten Commandments that Moses had received from God in blind or superficial way. It means understanding the intent of the commandments correctly and living according to the spirit behind that intent, rather than obeying the commandments literally. The young man who heard Jesus' answer did not understand him correctly and asked him which of the commandments needed to be kept. Jesus said, not to murder, commit adultery, steal from others, or give false testimony. He also said, to honor one's parents and love one's neighbor as one loves the self. The young man, hearing this answer, replied, he had kept all these laws from the time when he was young, and asked Jesus if there is yet another commandment that he should keep. He had thought that there was some special kind of commandment that needed to be kept in order to get eternal life. Jesus, when questioned by the young man, said the following. This is from Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. In the Gospel of Luke, which tells us of the same event, introduces a young man as a person who had wealth and honor. He had riches and honor, kept the commandments, lived as an outstanding religious person. But he had spiritual thirst, and his spirit was thirsty. Furthermore, he had no assurance of salvation. But there was no one who could resolve this for him. This is why he went to see Jesus. Upon hearing Jesus say that he should sell all his possessions to the poor and follow Jesus, he became sad and worried because of the many possessions he had. Like other Pharisees, He believed that one became righteous by his public actions. But what he first had to do was know God who is good in the correct way and follow Jesus Christ, whom our God who is good prepared for us. The young man asked what good deeds he must do in order to qualify to earn the eternal life. But Jesus revealed the obsessions and hypocrisy that the young man was hiding inside. The eternal life is participating in the life of God, who is eternal life. The eternal life is something that can only be given through the grace of God. But this young man asked how many and what kinds of good deeds that he must do in order to obtain eternal life. The reason that the young man had this wrong thought can be found in the wrong teachings about salvation. Among rabbis at that time, some taught that there were commandments that led to eternal life, and there were commandments that would not matter for the purpose of obtaining eternal life if they are broken. They taught that eternal life can be obtained by ceaseless prayers, reciting the law and the Psalms, and caring for the elderly. And so this rich young man wanted to know whether there were more noble acts that he could perform by which he can be acknowledged before God and live in the kingdom of God forever. Jesus said to the young man that if he wanted to be perfect, he should sell his possessions to the poor. The word perfect, which is teleos in Greek, does not mean that one is morally perfect or is without sin. It means one arriving at the ultimate goal of life, being perfectly godly, arriving at the full measure of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 testifies as follows. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. One cannot arrive at the whole measure of the fullness of Christ on human will alone. This perfection means the perfection that can be achieved when one entrusts oneself to God who makes one perfect. In the young man's heart, only the words of Jesus that told him to sell his possessions and give to the poor remained. But the point of what Jesus wanted to say to him was, "Follow me." The essential teaching of Jesus is to get rid of obsessions and hypocrisy, which is within a person, and follow Jesus Christ. A person who has gotten rid of inner obsessions and hypocrisy and personally met the Lord, does not accept what the Lord has said as mere rules. Inside of such person, emptied of his former inner thoughts, his inside become filled with the living words of God. The word of God is not only living, but is active, and even divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Lord wants each of us to die with the Lord and live with the Lord in our respective life places. There is no parent who will spoon-feed a child who has grown. If there is such a parent, the child is likely to be in need of caring because his or her body and mind are not sound. The Lord wants us who have become nailed to the cross with Christ to become mature Christians within the faith which believes in the Son of God. Having stepped on the grounds of the church for decades does not lead us to the state of the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We need a turning point of faith at which we confess the Lord is the Savior of the world, like the woman who met Jesus at the well, and like the people who had heard the gospel from the Lord. The young man who had kept the law from the time when he was young, who deserved to be complimented, became sorrowful and worried because the riches he had became a stumbling block. It is not bad to have a lot of wealth. There could be people who give away everything to the poor but fail to become perfect. What is important is that when I rely on what I have more than God, they become a hindrance that blocks the way of eternal life. All persons, whether one thinks one has a lot or less, who rely on what they possess more than God, will get to live a life filled with only with sorrow and worries. What is the priority in my life? Is there an idol within me that I secretly serve? When we examine ourselves with honesty before God daily, we will truly become free in God. Whatever our priorities may be, there is nothing that can replace the love of the cross. What we choose while we live is to serve only Jesus Christ and follow him. This is so because the Lord came to this earth to make us live a life following the way of the cross and to give us eternal life. Therefore, a person who loves God and who believes in the grace of Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit is already living in the eternal life that the rich man wanted so much. Jesus, when arrested by persons holding swords and clubs, after the kiss of betrayal by Judas Iscariot, said this in verse 55. In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion? Then you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me. Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me." The Lord spent many hours at the temple, but Jewish religious leaders served their convictions as their idols and therefore failed to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. It is only natural that these persons focused on arresting Jesus at every opportunity could not hear the words of the Lord as the word of life. If Jesus had truly committed some illegal act, it would have been possible for them to arrest him when he was teaching in the temple. But because Jesus had truly not committed an illegal act, the hour that they had chosen was a dark night. But in truth, they had not chosen this time, but Jesus had let himself be under the power of darkness as the time of God had come. The Lord is someone who can gather and receive protection from 12 legions of angels. At the time, one Roman legion, which occupied Palestine, was usually made up of 6,000 infantrymen and 700 cavalrymen. If we were to calculate the 12 legions of angels that Jesus spoke about to Peter, this would be an army of awesome size, made up of 72,000 infantrymen and 8,400 cavalrymen. It is an army that can completely and easily overcome the group with the swords and clubs. But because Jesus had to complete what is written, came true, what is written in the Bible, he became captured meekly and powerlessly. The choice he made was to save us who are weak and powerless, who have been robbed of minds by worldly things and do not have eternal life. The time following the arrest of Jesus was handed over to Judas Iscariot and those who conspired with him. This is from Luke chapter 22, verse 53. "Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me, but this is your hour when darkness reigns." The Lord stayed under the power of darkness momentarily in order to achieve salvation. The Lord did not remain forever under the power of darkness, but rose from death and is now at the right hand of God. And we are living now, waiting for the Lord, who has promised he would come again. No one knows the day or the time when the Lord will come again, but the word Jesus taught every day 2,000 years ago had been given into our hands. We have heard them with our ears, and we read them with our eyes. The choice we can make today is to wait for the Lord, who will return, and live our lives according to the word of God that have been spoken to us already. Should we be sad and worried because of the many things that are in the grasp of our hands? Or should we become the pair of feet that runs in order to tell the news of the Lord who is with me every day? The choice is up to each of us. But in the latter part of verse 56 of today, it tells us that the disciples who were at the scene where Jesus was arrested all abandoned him and ran away. The disciples had confessed that the Lord was the Son of the living God, and they confidently declared that they would never betray Jesus even if they faced death. They tried to protect Jesus by cutting off the ear of a person who was with the group that threatened Jesus. But when they became fearful when they saw Jesus being arrested powerlessly, so all of them ran away. We see ourselves in the disciples who guarantee that they would never betray Jesus because of the fear of corona and using restrictions put on us due to the pandemic. We hide inside it. We cannot deny that we are no different from the disciples who ran away after abandoning Jesus if we're not using these times as opportunities to mature spiritually and to recover the love we have lost. We should examine ourselves to see whether we had hidden using the reality of COVID as a shield during the past month of September. The Lord neither ran nor hid. He had the power to move 12 or more legions of angels, but the Lord did not dominate as the Messiah or enjoy glory. Despite his awesome power, he let himself become arrested meekly and powerlessly. Now, all churches of the world and all peoples of the Lord should walk the way of Jesus without fearing hardship. A padre that has endured long inside fire or bellows is stronger. Until the Lord comes again to this earth, we who must complete the race of faith should not become fearful, worried, or afraid, even if hardships await us. Because the Lord has already won, we can surely also overcome them. As we live another week, we may run into happy and joyful events at times, difficult and painful events at times, or situations that we want to be freed from or avoid. But even at such times, we should walk with Jesus, gaining new strength with the word of the Lord, and live a life where we share the water of life he has granted to us. I pray that in the coming week, we will not forget that Jesus is my Savior and the center of my life. May it be a blessed week in which we will eat and drink together in the words of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we hear the word of the Lord who came to the woman living with thirst, which she could not never fill, never have filled in her life. The Lord filled her inner self with spirit and truth and gave eternal living water as gift. We hear the word that the Lord, who has counseled a young man who was worried about how to obtain eternal life, to throw away all things hidden inside him and to follow the Lord through the text given to us today. Help us not to commit the foolishness of grasping onto things that we should let go of and letting go of things that we should hold on to. Help us not to reject the Lord who has come to our soul, and may we live a week in which we follow after Jesus in the way Jesus had done God's will, without worrying or being sorrowful because of the word of the Lord. Jesus could at any time call on the protection of the angel armies, but allowed himself to be captured meekly. It was a choice made solely to fulfill the will of Father God, to fulfill salvation. Jesus lived his whole life to testify to the fact that God is living and to fulfill the promises of God. We now resolve to live according to the word Jesus has taught us. Help us not to forget that although we do not pray to enable us to love, to be sanctified, we are already people who love and are loved, who live holy lives that are separate from the world, as befitting a people who love the Lord, whose essence is love and holiness. Even if hardships and worries come as trials, hold us so that we will not be fooled by fear and fall, and walk with our Lord until the day the Lord will return again every day. Help us to accept the days of hardship caused by Corona as God's will, to make us stand the strength and not to spend time meaninglessly. And so may we be victorious during the coming week and the month of October in the Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.